radio stations. WILL is one of them. Listener dollars make that possible. Be one of the 400 people to call in Monday, February 9th, our one-day Monday fund drive. Or you can give online right now at willpledge.org. Thank you.
In sports this afternoon, a federal judge has unsealed hundreds of pages of court documents at the heart of the government's criminal case against home run king Barry Bonds. The documents released include positive drug tests that prosecutors have linked to Bonds, a transcript of a taped conversation between Bonds' personal trainer and personal assistant discussing injecting the slugger, and a list of current and former major leaguers, including Jason Giambi, who are scheduled to testify for the government at Bonds' upcoming trial. The former San Francisco Giants slugger's trial is scheduled for next month. He's charged with lying to a grand jury when he said he never knowingly used performance-enhancing drugs. Illinois coach Ron Zook added a recruiting class today that includes 5 players from Ohio and 4 from Florida. The best, though, may be receiver Terry Hawthorne from East St. Louis. Hawthorne is highly touted by recruiting gurus, and he joins Illinois fresh from a state high school championship. That's a look at the Illinois recruiting program so far. And let's move now to some other sports news. The Chicago Bulls are in the Big Easy tonight to take on the New Orleans Hornets. New Orleans is 28-17 so far this season, but they've lost their last 3 games. Chicago, meanwhile, is 21-28 this season. They've lost their last 2 games against the Hornets. And the Chicago Cubs say individual game tickets for next season will go on sale Friday, February 20th. That's sports.
Today's programming is made possible in part by Ratio Architects, designer of the Carl Foundation's Echo Building, on the web at ratioarchitects.com.
This is the Afternoon Magazine. Opening next week on February 12th, Abraham Lincoln's birthday, a new exhibit at the Early American Museum in Mahomet. The exhibit, The Many Faces of Abraham Lincoln, examines some lesser-known facets of Lincoln's life and personality. One focus of the exhibit is Lincoln as a reader. Another focus is Lincoln as a father. Joining me this afternoon on the telephone to talk about The Many Faces of Abraham Lincoln is Barb Olschlager Garvey. She's the curator of The Many Faces of Lincoln. Hi, Barb. Thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Hi, and thank you for having me.
Sure. One of the focuses, or one of the foci,
yeah.
One focus of the exhibit is Lincoln as reader. Mm-hmm. He was an avid reader and writer. How does The Many Faces of Lincoln tell the story?
Well, we do. Our exhibits are artifact and image-based, so we have a lot of images of Lincoln reading, many of them taken from life, but others are, of course, imaginary. There's a lot of debate over whether Lincoln's mother or his stepmother could read, and so you often have his mother reading to him, although we don't know that they could. So these are images imagined and not imagined. And then we also have a few of the original versions of the books Lincoln would have read, but not the ones he held in his hands. So we have an edition of Blackstone's Law that he read the law from. And we have the same version of Kirkham's Grammar, which is the grammar that he and Anne Rutledge supposedly learned grammar from, and a few other books that are from the time period so that people can get an idea of the kinds of things he read. People have studied every imaginable aspect of Lincoln, and so there's even an, an entire inventory of what he may have read and how likely it is that he owned it.
Yeah, so that's got to be tough for you as a curator.
Well, yeah, you know, honing down on this topic was really kind of difficult.
Right. How do you make your choices?
So many things. Well, I decided that to do the things that, you know, after years of study, still didn't really have a handle on myself, things that I figured most people wouldn't know. And, you know, one of the things that I found intriguing was that, you know, many of us know that Lincoln was born in a cabin in Kentucky. But where were the Lincolns before that? And I was surprised to find that his family, I shouldn't have been, but I was surprised to find that family emigrated in the 17th century from England to Massachusetts, probably because of getting cheated out of the family fortune, but also maybe based on religious grounds. A more Puritan group came from their particular town to Massachusetts. Massachusetts to New Jersey to Pennsylvania to Virginia to Kentucky to Indiana to Illinois. And this is the story of many of the colonials. And so Lincoln was one of them. You know, he was like many, many of the early settlers of the United States, European settlers of the United States. Mm. But, you know, he begins in Kentucky for most of us, and if not in Illinois. And so I examined that. And what was his father like? There's a lot of mystery about his father. Did he not like his father? Did he not get along with his father? You know, how did that affect him as a parent? And yeah, it's hard to hone down on. And of course, some of the more popular images, we want to talk about him as a rail splitter. He had lots of occupations before he settled down on legislation and the law. He was a postmaster. He was a I know you had somebody speaking right before this on on Lincoln as a writer, and I decided I had too much to do. Listen to it. Sorry.
You can listen
to
it.
Exhibit open.
It's online. You can listen to it there. I can tell you that. Let me look over my notes. Something that we didn't get a chance to talk about. Abraham Lincoln's father. He wanted. Lincoln is quoted as saying his father's idea of a thorough education was, and these are Lincoln's words, quote, to have me cipher through the rule of three.
Right.
And
there's a great quote of Lincoln that anybody who knew Latin must be a wizard. You know that. That was it. That's all you needed to do was cipher to the rule of three, and if you went beyond that, there was something unusual about you. Right?
Yeah. Now, one of the things that you said earlier, there's some disagreement about this, but the guest that we had this afternoon, Fred Kaplan, in this book, Lincoln, the Biography of a Writer, said that Lincoln's stepmother, Sally Bush Johnson Lincoln, was literate. And actually, that was very fortunate for her children and the children of Thomas Lincoln and his first wife, Nancy, who died when Abraham and Sarah were children.
Right.
So that was very fortuitous for these kids.
Well, she certainly did encourage it. I'm not entirely sure that, we're pretty sure that Thomas, his father, didn't encourage it, but Sarah Bush Johnston Lincoln did encourage him, and that was, and as you said, very fortuitous for all of us.
Yeah, right.
But some of it had to come from, and did come from Lincoln himself. I mean,
right.
The drive to learn as much as he did, given the fact that he went to less than 2 years of school.
As you've worked on the exhibit, what have you been most drawn to? Is there an artifact or a part of the story that you, most fascinating?
We borrowed some artifacts from local collectors, and I also borrowed some artifacts from Lincoln College in Lincoln, Illinois. And one of the things we borrowed was a land dispute from Kentucky that was Thomas Lincoln's. And it had Thomas, and it has the signature, Thomas Lincoln, his mark, and an X. And I don't know, I guess maybe it's too many years in museum business or something, but holding that in my hands was pretty astounding. Mm-hmm. And then to think that, you know, that Thomas Lincoln had to make an X. You know, he couldn't.
Yeah. He couldn't read or write, no.
You know, and that was really moving to me that you know, that our 16th president came from him as a father who, you know, did his best, but as we all try to.
Yeah. Come February 12th now, Abraham Lincoln's birthday.
Yeah.
The exhibit opens. Do you have a special opening planned?
We do. We're going to have a birthday party for Abe. Steve Shoemaker, who you probably know as the former head of the University of YMCA and
host of Keeping the Faith here
right.
on AM 580.
Oh, yes, right. That's right. And I listened to that. Why didn't I think of that? He's going to impersonate Abe for us that day. He'll become Abe Lincoln. He's going to hand out Lincoln pennies, and we have a few of our Champaign County's Lincoln videos to pass out. We produced a video last year just about Champaign County and Lincoln. He's going to hand out a few other gifts, and we're going to have cake based on Mary Todd Lincoln's vanilla almond cake.
Hmm.
Sans almonds, so if someone wants to come who has nut allergies, no problem.
And when does this get underway?
And we're going to do that from 1 to 4 on next Thursday afternoon on the 12th.
Okay, very good. And the exhibit opens February 12th.
Right.
And when does it close?
Well, it will be... we're opening just for that day. We open again on the 1st of March, and then we're open until December 31st.
Okay, so plenty of opportunity
right,
for us to get out
one,
there.
One special exhibit a year. We are also planning to open at the end of the year a new permanent exhibit about Abraham Lincoln in Champaign County.
Okay.
That will be here for at permanent exhibits in museums usually means 10 to 15 years. So
okay.
That'll be here for a long while. And then we're also involved in the planning of an exhibit at the courthouse. I don't know if you're aware about that, but there will be an exhibit in the courthouse near the jury assembly room when all of the construction is done. We're hoping to also, we will also be opening an exhibit there called Abraham Lincoln, A Large Presence in a Small Town.
Okay, that sounds good. Well, Barb, we've got to wrap it up here.
Okay.
But if you could share your phone number with us there
Sure.
at the museum.
Sure, it's 217-586-2612.
Mm-hmm. Okay, 586-2612.
Right.
And you're at www.earlyamericanmuseum.org.
Yeah, long address, but you can't forget it.
Right. Okay. Barb, thanks so much for talking with me this afternoon.
Thank you so much.
Opening next week on February 12th at 1 p.m., Abraham Lincoln's birthday, February 12th, a new exhibit at the Early American Museum in Mahomet. The museum is a facility of the Champaign County Forest Preserve. The exhibit is called The Many Faces of Abraham Lincoln. It's 2:54. The Mande are a people of Africa. Tonight at 7:30, Mande music from Guinea, West Africa will be featured at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. WILL Radio's Kevin Kelly talked with two of the artists and recorded their music in the WILL Performance Studio yesterday. And we bring you now a musical excerpt featuring Morikebe Koyate, who sings and plays the kora, and Musa Bolokeda Kande, who plays the djembe. They are just two musicians in the ensemble performing traditional Mande music tonight at the Krannert Center. the djembe. It's a drum. We also had an excerpt from the kora playing of Morikebe Kayuate. Forgive me, I'm not doing very well by these names. And Musa Bolakeda Kande, who plays the djembe. They are just two of the musicians in an ensemble performing traditional Mande music tonight at the Krannert Center. Tickets for the 7:30 performance are still available. So if you'd like to go, you can give Krannert a call.
Earth and Sky.